It's interesting when we look at the scripture, how a lot of the things in scripture seem to talk about the very simple things of life. And using these very simple, ordinary things of life, the lesson can be transformed into a great truth about our relationship to God. And one of those simple things that scripture brings up quite a bit is feasting. In all the readings today, there is something mentioned about gathering around a meal. And one aspect of gathering around a meal involves hospitality. And we know that God's hospitality is extended to all of us. The first reading mentions wisdom instructing her maidens to go out and extend an invitation for the banquet. When we have consumed wisdom's meal, we share in the virtues of understanding and simplicity. In a sense, we become what wisdom offers. Then we are to serve those virtues to others, as the command at the end of our Mass tells us to go forth and be Christ for one another. And even today's psalm speaks of this. And when we gather around the table of God, we taste and see God's goodness. The nourishment that God provides will give us the strength to undergo the trials of life, the challenges, and the pitfalls. Now, fear can trap us and hold us back from being open to God's invitation of love and acceptance. And many of us worry about our appearances, or we try to hide something from God. We feel shame for those weaknesses. But God's abundant banquet of mercy can transform those wounds into vehicles of grace and goodness. There is no need to hide these things because God wants to bring all of that, all of those weaknesses, all of ourselves to the meal. Of course, we know it can be easy to be a slave to our own passions and desires. Greed and gluttony can consume us, as Paul seems to imply in the second reading. So we try to fill our lives with all sorts of things that belong to the human condition. But God has placed in us the innate desire to know and love Him. And that search for what can fill that emptiness can lead us to think that power, food, work, whatever it may be in our lives, perhaps technological devices, perhaps those things we think mistakenly will quench that hunger that we feel. Paul indicates that what we are truly seeking is not food or nourishment that belongs to this world, but a spiritual food that is found only when we come to know and love Jesus Christ. And wisdom will help us understand that longing for the relationship, and it requires a certain sense of humility to ask for it. If we sincerely seek that wisdom, then we will truly be filled with that love of God that satisfies us for eternity. And like a good meal, it takes a process and a journey to recognize that. And we know, Father Frank especially knows, that good meals take tender, loving care to prepare. So why would we not expect our relationship with God to be similar? Be patient, and God will fill you with great heavenly food. And like a good meal, sometimes it may surprise you how it is served. Now, we all need to eat natural food. In one aspect, that binds us as humans. But using this idea in the gospel, Jesus goes even deeper with that, with the crowd. Everyone is invited to the divine banquet. What matters is for each of us to foster our relationship with Jesus. Eating Jesus' flesh and drinking his blood is not an invitation to cannibalism as the crowds feared. Instead, in the Eucharist, the bread and wine are given a new, new and awesomely deep meaning. They become the very person of Jesus. Jesus uses the words, "I am the living bread," not just bread alone, but a living bread. And so in the Eucharist, we deepen that relationship with Jesus, not mechanically, but by becoming more and more like him over the course of our life. We meet God in this mysterious and dramatic way. God gives himself to us, and we try to shape ourselves as a gift into a loving gift for God. In a meal, we have to take time and savor the flavor of the food. We create relationships and strengthen bonds with one another at a meal. And somehow, after a good meal, we are not the same as when we began. We are renewed, refreshed, and strengthened. The maker of the meal has given their time and talent. In a sense, they give of themselves to create it. And the receiver of the meal then offers thanks and is now a different person. And so in the Eucharist, we share in the divine banquet where Christ is the host, and we forge a relationship that transforms us to the very depths of our soul. Christ's gift of himself is offered to all who would accept that invitation. Christ abides in us and invites us to take him into ourselves and become one with him. Then we will have real life. This is the profound intimacy with a God who does not remain so distant from us, but it reveals that God so longs for our hearts that God is willing to course through our veins. It's graphic. It's shocking. But there can hardly be a more dramatic or a more surprising description of that participation of one life in another. The reality of Christ's presence in the Eucharist is beyond our comprehension. But we're not asked to understand it. We're asked to experience it.